Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I imagine that you probably know of Christians who face some severe challenges and difficulties in this life, but yet who, in spite of those severe challenges that they face, still have a joyful spirit as they live their lives because they know about the grace and love of God for them through Jesus, our Savior. One such person who comes to mind for me is a man named Nick Vujicic. That's a difficult name to pronounce. And maybe that name doesn't ring a bell for you. Maybe you've heard of him. But I imagine if you see his picture, you'll probably recognize that you have at least seen his picture before, if not heard him speak or seen a video of him speaking. He's a handsome guy, relatively young, 38 years old right now. But when you see a full body picture of Nick, one thing that you immediately notice about him is that he has no arms or legs. He was born that way, a rare congenital condition. And as he tells about his life story, he tells how during his childhood and youth, he struggled greatly with depression, with loneliness, as you can imagine, that not being able to participate in many of the things that his peers were able to do. But he found strength through God's word. And he began speaking about his faith in God, his faith in Jesus, his Savior, and the strength that provided for him in his life. And people were inspired by his personal story and by his testimony of faith. And now he's an international evangelist. He's been able to share the love of Jesus with millions of people all around the world. That kind of faith is what the Apostle Paul is talking about today in our sermon text from Romans chapter 8. A faith that lives above the circumstances of life, no matter what those might be. Paul says in these verses that we can live as conquerors because we are never separated. We will never be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And one of our problems in coming to accept the reality of that statement that we are never separated from the love of God through Jesus is that we at least subconsciously tend to judge God's love for us based on our physical or material circumstances. But of course we know that that is not the true measure of God's love. In our reading, the Apostle Paul assumes that we will have some problems and difficulties and tensions in life. We will have some of those same problems that everyone in life has. And sometimes we will even have more of those problems than the non-Christians in the world around us. Because sometimes we may be picked on or persecuted just because of the faith that we have in Jesus, the allegiance that we have to God's word and his will for our lives. So in verse 35 of our reading, when Paul asks, "What will separate us from the love of God?" He then goes on to list some of those problems that he assumes that those Christians in the city of Rome to whom he is writing will likely have to face in their lives. He talks about trouble, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. As we read these things, we're reminded that God has not promised that believers will have a life free from all of those negative circumstances. But God has promised that he will provide his believers with what they need to be conquerors in the midst of those circumstances. And so, just very basically, one of the realities of life that everyone has to face is death. And Paul includes that the fact of death that will face all people in these verses, because the reality of this is for Christians today and also at the time that Paul was writing, especially at the time that Paul was writing, that they could face death at any time as persecution for their faith. And even though in this country that's not so much of a present reality for us, still today in our world, there are believers who have the daily reality that they might be persecuted to death because of their faith in Jesus. Whether that's from a hostile government, a government that itself represses and persecutes Christians, or whether that's from vigilante terrorist groups within their country that regularly attack and kill Christians, they're aware that their Christian faith at any time could lead them, could allow them to be put in prison, punished, even tortured, and executed, all because of their faith in Jesus. And Paul himself, as he was writing to the Christians in Rome, he had already experienced in his own life some of those same things. And so he tells those Christians in Rome that not even death can separate us from the love of God. Paul quotes a verse from Psalm 44 when he says, "For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." And so to apply that for us in our lives, we might say that we must be ready for death at every moment of every day, just as sheep who are awaiting slaughter. Death for us is as real as life itself. And so we must learn to live with the fact that we really could die at any moment when we least expect it. And so how can we be ready for that? How can we be ready for death at any moment? How can we be sure in the midst of all of the problems of life that God is still there with his love for us? Well, in verse 32 of our reading, Paul points the way to us, for us, to that assurance. He says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him?" That is the proof. That is the evidence of God's love for us. He gave his own son to save us. If you've been up to the viewing deck near the top of the Willis Tower or the John Hancock Building here in Chicago, and if when you went up there, if you were brave enough to do the thing that tilts you out over the street below, or to go out into that glass cube that hangs out over the edge of the building, and if you were brave enough to look straight down to the street below, saw the people walking around down there, hundreds of feet below you, you might get the feeling that from that high and lofty vantage point, the people way down there on the ground almost look like little insects, like little ants crawling around, almost living in an entirely different world from you. Maybe sometimes you've had the feeling that maybe that's how God views us from his lofty perch on his throne in heaven, far above us and the events of this world. Of us insignificant little people compared to his glorious and majestic existence. But in these verses of our reading, Paul tells us that that is absolutely not the vantage point, the viewpoint that God has of us. God doesn't just look down on us from afar as people struggle with challenges in this life, but rather God himself came down to live among us here on the earth in the person of the Son of God, Jesus, our Savior. And that Jesus went on the way to the cross in order to help and to save us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writes that God shows his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The reason for the death of God's only Son was that God in his love was reaching out to bring people back into a relationship of harmony and of peace with himself. People had rejected God and they had been going their own way, following their own sinful desires. Our whole nature had become rebellious and full of sin. And God's word tells us that in that sinful condition, totally corrupted by sin, we could have no peace or harmony with God. In order to change that condition, that broken relationship between us and God, God himself had to pay the penalty for people's sins and guilt. That penalty that consisted of death. Not just physical death, but also spiritual death. Total separation from God and his blessings. The equivalent of suffering in hell itself. Jesus, God's own Son, became our substitute, and he paid that price by his own suffering and death. So Paul writes in verse 34 of our reading, "Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, was raised to life, is the one who is at God's right hand, and who is also interceding for us." Not only did Jesus die for our sins, not only did he rise from the dead as the conquering Savior and victor over death, but now he is also interceding for us at the throne of our Heavenly Father. And because that is true, the Apostle Paul writes with confidence, "How can anything or anyone ever separate us from God's love for us? Who could possibly accuse us to God or condemn us before God? We are forgiven through Jesus. We've been set free from all sin and guilt. All of that punishment for our sins has been paid for by Jesus, our Savior. And as Paul writes here, we are God's chosen people. We are God's elect. We've been made his dearly loved sons and daughters, members of his own family. And so as we read this whole eighth chapter of the book of Romans, it's just a beautiful assurance of the fact that for God's people through faith in Jesus, there is no condemnation because Jesus has paid for all of our sins. God has declared us to be innocent, to be holy and perfect in his sight, free from all sin and guilt. He has adopted us into his family. And in this chapter, Paul writes and assures us that God himself lives within us, that the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in our hearts, that he lives through us in the daily events of our lives. And so he assures us that we can live as conquerors, no matter what the circumstances of our life might be. Because we are never separated. We will never be separated from the love of God for us through Jesus our Savior. And now let's think about a little bit more what it means to live as conquerors. In verse 37 of this reading, Paul says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And if you read this verse in the Evangelical Heritage Version or in some other Bible translations, you might see a footnote or a different translation that instead of saying we're more than conquerors, says we are completely victorious. What does that mean? It means that we can live each day of our lives with an overwhelming sense, an assurance of God's love for us. With an assurance of God's presence in our lives, of his power working in our hearts and working in our lives, so that whatever situation we find ourselves in this life, no situation, no circumstance of life can affect our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Nothing can change his love for us. Nothing can change the harmony and the peace that now exists between us and God because of Jesus. As we look at the closing verses of this text, the grand conclusion that the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, brings this whole wonderful, comforting chapter, Romans chapter 8, to a conclusion. The Apostle Paul lists a number of things that people might think could possibly separate them from God's love. But in confidence, full assurance of God's love and blessing for us, he says that none of those things can separate us from God's love. In verse 38, the Apostle Paul mentions angels and rulers and powerful forces. Now, that might seem a little strange to us because we know what God's word says about angels, that they are God's powerful messengers, his servants, that they are good and holy, and God sends them to watch over us and to bless us and protect us. But apparently some of the people at Paul's time, some of the Jewish people, had this conception that there were different ranks of angels, and certainly the Bible mentions cherubim and seraphim, different kinds of angels. But we see here that there's also reference to rulers and to powers, powerful forces. And so apparently the Jewish people had this idea that even angels might sometimes be jealous of people and seek to do harm to people. And of course we know that there are fallen angels, demons, the devil and his evil angels who do seek to do us harm. But the Apostle Paul assures us here that whether it's demons, evil angels, or even in a mistaken notion about good angels who might seek to do us harm, he tells us that none of them can affect us. None of them can separate us from God's love, even if they wanted to. And then in verse 39, he mentions the words height and depth. And we might think, oh, well, maybe if somebody is afraid of heights, they can be assured that will not separate them from God's love. But it seems that this might be a reference to astrological terminology. Some people who believe that the positions of the stars could have influence over their lives and negatively affect the circumstances of their lives. And so it seems that by mentioning height and depth, the Apostle Paul might be assuring people that no matter whether the stars you think have effect on your life are high in position in the sky at a certain time or low in position in the sky as you look at the night sky, none of those things can affect your life, can separate you from God's love for you. And then he brings this section to a wonderful conclusion by saying, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul is saying that there is absolutely nothing that exists that will ever exist that could possibly ever take away God's love from you, take you away from God's love. What a statement of faith that is. Whatever our needs or our problems that we face in life, and certainly over this past long year of pandemic, there have been many for so many of us, we bring those problems, those needs to our Heavenly Father. And He turns to us and He comforts us with the assurance of His abiding presence with us, of His never-failing love for us through Jesus. Think of anything terrifying. Think of any hurt or any problem or anything that this world could possibly produce. Not one of them is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, live in that knowledge, in that full assurance that you will live as a conqueror through Jesus your Savior.